Luke 10, 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, why do you care that my sister has left me to do the work myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her."
Good morning. Good to see you guys. My name is Paul, as Jordan said. If we haven't met, and yeah, I'm from Snug. I think we do this swap with preachers now and again just to give everybody a bit of a break. And I'm one of the elders at Snug, so Dan sent me here to preach for you guys. And it's good to meet you. I've decided to focus on this little story in Luke, which I'm sure you all know pretty well. Like, it's a well-known story. I think many of you probably love the story. I certainly love the story. But we can't be deceived by how short it is. It is a very important story, and in this we learn a very important lesson that we just cannot afford to miss. So I think it's well worth our time this morning in this story and thinking about it. So let me just pray, and then we'll get stuck into it. Our Lord, we do pray for your help. Lord, even now, like, it's easy to be distracted by other things that are going on in our life. You are speaking to us through your word, through me. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to be like Mary even right now and to lap up your words. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Over summer, our family have developed this tradition of going down to Hastings Caves, you know, having a barbecue, having a bit of a swim, and doing that whole thing. And we do it every year, a couple of times over summer. And I remember one time recently we did it. It was a big day. We left early to get down there. We had a swim, had about an hour shower afterwards to warm up. We had a nice barbecue. Then from there we went to Jeeveston Park. You know, the kids bought their bikes, played around, bought ice cream. We just tried to make it a really good day for our children. But I remember at the end of the day, looking at my kids asleep in their bed and having this heavy feeling of regret. I don't know if you guys ever have that feeling when you see your kids looking like angels asleep in their bed. Because, you know, I had this feeling of regret because even though I was with my kids all day, I felt like I missed it. I felt like I missed them. You know, the whole day had become one task after the other. And I failed to enjoy them, to delight in them. Have you ever felt this? You can become so stressed and preoccupied with all the things that have to be done in the day that you actually miss what's really important. Like enjoying your children, enjoying your wife, enjoying your friends, your mum, your dad. Well, friends, in this passage, this is exactly what happens to Martha. She becomes so stressed and so busy by everything that needs to be done that she misses something really important, the most important thing, enjoying and delighting in Jesus. And I tell you what, if there's one regret that you don't want to have, it's to get to the end of your life and say, "I missed it. I missed him." So let's spend a few minutes this morning just thinking about this story to make sure we don't fall into that same trap of Martha, shall we? If you have your Bibles, have them open. We're in Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. So, a bit of context. Jesus has got his 12 disciples with him. He's travelling to Jerusalem. And he comes through this town, Bethany, which is just outside Jerusalem. And it happens to be the village where Martha lives. And Martha does an incredible thing. It says here that she opened up her home to Jesus and his disciples. Now, I don't want you to miss that. That is quite remarkable. Just imagine you're at home this afternoon. I don't know what you do in the afternoon, but I kind of like to relax, take it easy, and there's a knock on your door. And 13 grown men are at your front door. They're tired, they're hungry, and they want a place to stay for the night. You know, opening up your home to them is no small deal. I can imagine Martha would have had to sweep the floor, move the furniture, make some places for beds. I don't know if they had beds back then. Run down to the market, buy some meat and veg for dinner. It's no small thing. This is generous. This is sacrificial. This is quite admirable. And it wouldn't have been cheap for Martha either. I mean, Martha's probably a widow. Okay, she's got a house. She doesn't have a husband. To provide a meal for 13 grown men, plus herself and her sister, would have eaten into the week's budget, I think. And on top of this, I think it would have been quite risky. At this time, there's a lot of tension in the air. There's a growing number of people who want Jesus dead. And they're in Jerusalem, a few k's away. But does Martha care about all this? Does Martha care that she has to go to all this work to show hospitality to Jesus and his disciples? Does she care that her week's budget is going to be eaten into? Does she care that she's putting herself in danger? Not at all. She loves Jesus, and she wants to serve Jesus the best she can. You know, Martha often gets a bit of a bad rap, doesn't she? You know, oh, don't be a Martha, don't be a Martha. But friends, she's actually quite incredible. She's one of those Christians, you know, who just serve. You know, they don't wait to be asked to be put on a roster. They don't wait for someone else to do it. They just roll up their sleeves and get on with it and do it themselves. That's Martha. And that's good. But on this particular day, something's amiss, isn't it? Something's just not quite right. And we're about to find out what, but first we're introduced to a younger sister, Mary. Verse 39. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. So here's the picture. Let's see if you can use your imagination. Martha's in the kitchen, busily working away, preparing this grand meal for Jesus. Pots are banging, vegetables are being chopped, meat is being bashed with a tenderizer, sweat dripping off her forehead as she tries to make a wonderful meal for Jesus. And while all that is happening in the kitchen, Jesus is in the living room, so to speak. His disciples are gathered around him, and Mary's right there at his feet, listening to every word he's saying. So Martha is run off her feet, and Mary is at the feet of Jesus. Now, let's be honest. Who of you is sympathising with Martha right now? Yeah, we all feel for Martha, don't we? Because we've all been there. You know, we've been left to do all the hard work while others are just sitting around, not lifting a finger to help. It's frustrating. We feel Martha's frustration. Now, this goes on for quite some time until Martha hits breaking point. She throws the apron on the ground, storms out of the kitchen, into the living room, and lets it all out. Verse 40. Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him, that's Jesus, and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Martha's frustrated. We can understand that. But things get quite ugly here, don't they? I mean, did you pick up who Martha actually rebuked? You would think she would have a go at her sister. But it turns out that she has a go at Jesus. She says, "Don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Wow. What happened there? I mean, it started off as such a good thing, serving Jesus, and now Martha is frustrated with Jesus himself. How did this happen? Well, listen to how Jesus responds. He says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." What's the problem? What's going on here? Here it is. Martha was so busy serving Jesus that she forgot to savor him. Martha was so busy serving Jesus that she forgot to savor him. You know, what Martha was doing was good. Okay, it was very good. But in doing that good thing, she was actually neglecting something far greater. And that is being with Jesus and sitting at his feet. You know, the whole story is actually quite tragic. Jesus, the creator of heaven and earth, the Son of the living God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, is in her living room, and the whole time she's in the kitchen. Isn't that tragic? Martha's motives were good, but she missed it. She missed Jesus. She served him, but didn't savor him. By savor, I mean, you know, taste, enjoy, delight. And that's exactly what Mary's doing, isn't it? Mary's at Jesus' feet, just listening to every word. You know, and just a clarification, Mary is not being lazy. You know, she's not being lazy. Mary is simply choosing what is best, and that is to be with Jesus. Jesus said, "Few things are needed, indeed only one." Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. There are so many good things we can do, and there are many good things that we're called to do, but there's one thing that outweighs them all, and that is being with Jesus, delighting and enjoying him. Now, let me ask you the question you've all been waiting for, the classic question. Who are you? Who are you in this story? Are you Mary, sitting at Jesus' feet? You just want to be with Jesus, and you're there when you ever get a chance. Enjoying, delighting in him. Savoring every moment. Or are you more like Martha? You're flat out. In church, on Sundays, you're serving Jesus at home, in work, at uni, you're doing that, and you're doing this, and you're all doing it for Jesus. But you're in the kitchen, and it's been a long time since you've stepped into the living room and spent quality time with Jesus. Is that you? Or maybe you're neither. You're not Mary. You're not Martha. You're not in the kitchen. You're down the street playing in the park. You're not distracted by serving Jesus. You're distracted by completely other things. Friends, if Jesus were to speak to you right now, what would he say? Would he say, "You are worried and upset about many things. Few things are needed, indeed only one." You know, our lives get so busy. I get that. We all understand this. They fill up with appointments and meetings and responsibilities and jobs. And if you're a part of a church, even more so. But listen to Jesus. He said, "Few things are needed, indeed, only one." At the end of the day, the most important thing is that we are walking closely with Jesus. Now, I'm not saying we don't get into the kitchen from time to time, and neither is Jesus. We're called to live a life of service. But if all we're doing is serving and never savouring, we've got a problem. And if you're here today and you're like, "Yep, that's me. You know, I'm a Martha." I want you to hear something important. Jesus, he doesn't condemn you. He doesn't condemn you. Do you hear how he speaks to Martha? He doesn't just speak down to her and condemn her. Listen, he says, "Martha, Martha." Can you hear the tenderness in his voice? He's appealing to her. "Martha, Martha." And friends, Jesus, he doesn't condemn you. If anything, he's just appealing to you to choose what is best, to choose him. So friends, are you run off your feet? Maybe it's time you sit at the feet of Jesus. Now, I want to finish this morning by just quickly having a chat about what this means, to sit at the feet of Jesus, because, you know, unfortunately he's not going to be in our living room when we get home. So what does that mean for us? And this is not the most important thing I want you to take away. The point I want to get across this morning is that you prioritize savoring Jesus, but we need to have a quick chat about what this actually means and what it looks like. And it's really quite simple. You know, we tend to overcomplicate it, but it's really simple. The kids even got it. The Bible teaches us that we commune with Jesus primarily through his word and through prayer. It's simple. As we read his word, listen to his word, meditate on his word, and as we spend time with him in prayer, we have fellowship with him. We commune with him. You know, people try to come up with all sorts of new and exciting ways to experience Jesus. You know, pilgrimages to certain places, worship music, and all sorts of things. But friends, it's far more simple than this. It's through the word and prayer that we actually fellowship with him. It's how we fellowship with anybody, right? Talking, listening. It's the same with Jesus. And other things help, like nature helps. Going on a pilgrimage might help. Listening to worship music might help. But at the core, it's the word and it's prayer. That we sit at Jesus' feet. And that's a good thing because we can do that anywhere. We don't have to be stuck to a temple or stuck in a living room to do that. We can actually do this wherever we are, doing whatever we're doing. So friends, how are you going with this? Are you spending time with Jesus, at his feet, in the word and in prayer? If this is somewhat of a struggle to you at the moment, and man, our lives are so full of distractions, it's getting harder and harder to do this. Let me just give you a way to move forward, okay? Five quick things to finish off. This will be quick. Number one, ask God for help. If you often find yourself distracted and choosing other things over Jesus, it's probably not just a schedule issue you've got. It's probably a heart issue. And that's God's domain. God works on the heart. And if the desire is not there, if you're being bombarded with distractions, just come to God and ask him to help you. Don't get up in the morning and say, right, today I'm going to read, I'm going to pray, and I'm just going to enjoy Jesus. Just get on your knees and say, God, I have a wandering heart. I have a wandering mind. Help me today to savor you. Number one. Number two, get into a habit of immersing yourself in the word and in prayer. Now, you guys have heard this for as long as you've been in church, right? Read the Bible, pray. Read the Bible, pray. But there's a good reason for it. You know, we tell our kids to eat veggies every day because it's good for them. Reading the word, immersing ourselves in the word and praying to God. It's our spiritual vegetables. It is what we need. It is how we commune with Jesus. And there are 1,000 ways that you can do this today, which is fantastic. We can read, we can listen through audio Bibles. We can meditate on the word. We can do 5 chapters. We can do 1 verse. We can pray standing up, sitting down, out loud. There are all sorts of ways that we can immerse ourselves in the word and in prayer. But however you do it, it's important that you do it. And I find the easiest thing is to get into a habit of doing this. Number three, grab hold of some good resources. Okay, there are excellent resources out there to help you. There are sermons, there are podcasts, there are Bible reading plans, there are great apps on the phone that give you free audio Bibles. You know, the resources are endless today. So just grab a hold of these resources and help them foster that desire to spend time with Jesus. Number four, read and pray with other people. Okay, I don't know about you, but I find it so much easier to read and pray by myself when I'm reading and praying with other people. When I hear other people have this close, intimate relationship with Jesus, when I hear other people get really excited about the word and they're pulling out gold nuggets out of the word, I get excited to read the word and pray. So grab hold of every opportunity you can. I see you've got prayer meetings happening. I'm sure you've got Bible studies of sorts. Grab hold of those opportunities. Get involved in that. Because that will help you to read and pray by yourself. Number five, identify the things that are distracting you. Okay? Have a look at your life. What is it that is distracting you? Apart from your kids, put your kids aside, okay? They're allowed to distract you. But what are the things in your life that are distracting you and are not necessary and that you can actually get rid of? You know, there are so many things, good things, hobbies, sports, TV, your phone, right? Phones are a big one these days. So many things that want to distract us from spending that quality time with Jesus. And identify that, acknowledge that, and either get rid of them or just put boundaries around those things. You know, Jesus said, few things are needed, indeed only one. That's pretty profound. Only one. And friends, as I said earlier, it would be awful, wouldn't it, to get to the end of our life and look back and say, I missed it. I missed him. Because friends, that is the most important thing. He is the most important thing. Let's pray and ask Jesus to help us right now focus on him, shall we? Our Lord Jesus, again, we are sorry for our wandering heart. We're sorry for having such a distracted mind. We're sorry, Lord, for just being so busy and yet neglecting what really matters. And that is just being with you, delighting in you, enjoying you. For Lord, this is our purpose, to glorify you and to enjoy you forever. Lord, we pray that you would help us because our will is weak a lot of the time. We pray, Lord, that you would help us. Give us that desire and that hunger to be with you and help us to do this. In Jesus' name.
Stand to sing. Apologies that the song is a bit high. I have a keyboard at the wrong setting.